When Dan says, I thought you would introduce me, I will.
I was just ready to listen.
Dan Jenkins is our speaker. He was born in Huntsville, Alabama in 1939. His grandfather was a gospel preacher, father and elder in the church. Dan, following in their footsteps, started preaching at age 14, which was last year. He is a graduate of both Freed Hardeman and David Lipscomb Universities. Following his graduations, the Jenkins went to New Zealand and worked in the mission field there for almost a decade. Back stateside, 1974, preached in Birmingham for 7 years and made 3 mission trips to the Pacific Islands. Since 1982, he has been working with the Palm Beach Lakes congregation in Palm Beach, Florida, which is where my wife's family first got introduced to Dan. He and his wife, Judy, have 4 children, 13 grandchildren, 14 great-grandchildren. And my favorite thing about Dan is he's just as eager to preach as anybody I've ever seen. Dan, come tell us the story of the Bible.
Can you believe this meeting is half over? That's amazing. Come in and preach 6 sermons. We're going to have 3 of them today, and by the end of the day, we'll have 4 sermons, 2/3 over. I love preaching. As I've mentioned in the class, and Justin has just mentioned it again, I've been a missionary. You sit in the Fiji Islands in a grass hut, dirt floors, and this is the way it was, 50 years ago. It's a little bit better there now, a lot better there now. You sit in the home of a Hindu that has 1 room, perhaps, in a house and got an old tin roof. And you want to tell them the story of the Bible. What is it? If you had 30 minutes to tell somebody the story of the Bible, what would you tell them? And this lesson is a very, very simple lesson. Even little children can remember this lesson, because it came as a result of sitting with people who'd never seen a Bible and tried to tell them the story of the Bible. In 3 sentences, here's the story of the Bible. The Old Testament, someone is coming. The New Testament, someone is here. And the other message in the New Testament is, someone is coming again. That's it. Someone is coming, someone is here, and he's coming again. In 1 word, here's the story of the Bible: Jesus. That's it. Jesus is coming, Jesus is here, and Jesus is coming again. I want, if it's possible, to give you a simple 12-word outline of the Bible. You might want to take one of those attendance cards and on the back side of it write down 12 words that you can use to tell somebody the entirety of the Old Testament in 12 words. I'm trying to make it simple. Language barrier when you're talking to people who speak Hindustani, like the folks in India do. 12 words. I opened it up, and what do I read? Adam. First word. I got to tell people about Adam. You're not Hindus. I don't have to tell you the story about Adam. There's so much about it. You talk about the creation, you talk about the 6 days. You can talk about all of the things that transpired, but the Bible devotes time talking about 1 afternoon or 1 day in the life of Adam and Eve. We know more about 1 day in the life of Adam and Eve than we do of the rest of his life. Although he lived 930 years, it's the day that sin came into the world. And the elder in the church asked me one time, "Dan, have you ever considered why this story," he wasn't talking about Adam, he's talking about another story, "why is this story in the Bible? Teach us about sin." What is sin? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 says, "Sin is the transgression of the law." We know that. Hindus know that. They don't know what sin is, but they know what law is. And there is the law of God that must be obeyed. And when sin came into the world, sin brought death. I probably, if I were writing on the back of one of those yellow cards, I would write Adam, and then right beside it put, "Sin brings death." That's why that story is in the Bible. The Lord says, "The day you eat of that fruit, you will die." And they're separated from God. Prior to the sin coming into the world, they were in communion with God. They were with God. They had freedom to walk anywhere in that garden, to eat of every one of those trees in the garden. Even the tree of life had access to every tree in the garden, but there's one tree. There's unity. But whenever sin, put sin right here in the middle of this podium for the moment, there's God coming down to the garden. Here's Adam and Eve, ashamed of what they've done. They are separated from God. Sin brings death. I don't have to tell you more than that story. If you're a Hindu, I want you to know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. What's next? Why is that next story in the Bible? Why is it there? Well, I'm not talking about Cain and Abel, though there's a reason that is in there. First time people worship. You've got to leave out something. But you get to chapter 6 and you've got three more chapters. Guess what they're devoted to? Noah. Write down the second word, Adam and Noah. Why is the story of Noah in the Bible? To show that sin brings judgment. I would write out beside the word Noah the word judgment against sin. Adam and Eve, you're out of the garden. God was sorry that he had made man, and there might have been as many as 20 million people on this earth when the flood came. 8 souls were saved. That's why that story is in the Bible. Sin separates man from God eternally, for there is that eternal judgment. Sin brings judgment. I don't have time to tell you that story. If we're sitting in a Hindu house, I've got a little bit long and don't have a clock on the wall, I'd tell you a lot about that, but you folks already know that. 8 souls out of at least 20 million people. What's next? Abraham. That's what I put beside the name Abraham. I would put three promises and and just put 1, 2, and 3 in very small. You got to write 12 words. You've only got 3 on the card now so far. But write a great nation. That's number 1. In a great land. That's number 2. And a great Savior. Genesis chapter 12. God says to Abraham, and here's the story of the Bible, I'm going to make of you a great nation. And the story of the Old Testament is that nation that is coming. That's what it is. It's the Jewish nation. I'm going to put this nation in a great land. It's all the way through the Old Testament. Mentioned again and again, the land of promise, Palestine, Canaan. And in your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And Galatians chapter 3, verse 16 says that word is singular and it refers to Christ. God promised, even though sin separates and there's judgment against sin, there's salvation from sin. And that's through that Savior that was going to come. And the rest of the Old Testament, figuratively, not literally, forgets about every Gentile on this earth. And the focus of God gets this narrow, and he's aware of everything that's happening in every nation. And the rest of the Old Testament focuses on the descendants of Abraham, that great nation Israel. How can I remember Adam, Noah, and Abraham? I got a kindergarten brain, I'm sorry. You ever know anybody named Anna? A-N-N-A. But if you spell like I do, you don't spell Anna, A-N-N-A. You got too many N's in it. So in my mind, I have A-N-A, Anna. Adam, Noah, Abraham. Have you got 3 of the 12? Everybody here, are there, all you teenagers, have you got Adam, Noah, Abraham? A-N-A is what it is. Have you got it? Adam, Noah, Abraham. Now we're going to leave out Isaac because you've got to leave out something. But God makes that same threefold promise to Isaac. But there's the 4th character. And that's Jacob. And beside the word Jacob, I'd put at least Jacob equals Israel. Why is that name important? God changed his name because I grew up in the church, and I don't want to tell you if I was a teenager or not when I finally figured out that when God talks about the children of Israel being in the land of Egypt, you know who he's talking about? The children of Jacob. That's the story of the Old Testament. God and the children of Israel in the Old Testament. And it's the history of that nation. And God makes that same threefold promise to Abraham, or to Jacob. So I might put a little 3 out there and put an arrow up there so I've got land promise and Savior. So I see that promise made. And then, we've already mentioned 13 chapters. Why's that in the Bible? I know it's there. So we got Adam, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, and this guy over here. The 5th character in the Old Testament is Joseph. And beside Joseph, I would put Israel into Egypt. That's why that story is in the Bible. Now, this word Anna, my kindergarten name, how on earth am I going to remember A-N-A-J-J? Oh, this Anna that doesn't know how to spell her name properly with the 2 N's inside of it, A-N-N-A. A-N-A is from Sweden, and her name is Anna Jaja. I made that up. But that's the crazy way I remember the story of the Bible. And I love my crazy way of remembering rather than your good way of forgetting it. Anajajah. And if I know Anajajah, Adam, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, and Joseph, I know, listen to this, 2,500 years of the 6,000 years man's been on this earth in one word. That's 5 out of 12. Are you going to make a passing grade? If Joseph gets them down into the land of Egypt, who gets them out? If I'm telling you the story of the Bible, who gets them out of the land of Egypt? Well, you know that. You've grown up in the Bible Belt. You know the Red Sea. You know the plagues in Egypt. You know Mount Sinai. And to tell you all about the going out of the land of Egypt, I'd have to tell you a lot about that. But that's Moses. That's number 6. Adam, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. Young people, that's not a passing grade yet, but you got half of them. And my mama wanted me to make A's, but if I can get all the way up to a C minus, I'll feel good. And look how close I am to being to a C minus. Isn't that amazing? 8 out of 12 is almost an F. Almost a C minus. And so if I can just get these 8 out of 12, and then just get lucky and get the other one, I got a passing grade. Mama may not be happy, but I've got it. You know the story about Moses. Beside Moses, I probably write the word laws. 10 Commandments. You have to tell the whole story. But that's what it's all about. I would write the word Egypt, out of Egypt, and law. Story of the Bible. Moses leads them up to the promised land. Who leads them into the promised land? You got Anajajah, Adam, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, down in the land of Egypt. How do they get back out? Moses. What happens when Moses dies? Joshua. We've got a whole book of the Bible about Joshua. Abraham gets 13 chapters. Joseph gets 13 chapters. Moses gets 4 books. But Joshua only gets 1. Well, boy, that's important. God has now made a nation and put that nation in the land. Joshua. God has now taken that nation and put that nation in a land. So beside Joshua, I'd put the nation into the land. That's why that story is in the Bible. God's kept his promise. God's kept his promise. We have time. We're running out of time to get all the way to 12. I want to come back and say that through Moses, he said, a prophet is coming. You remember that story? When your days are fulfilled, you understand? The Lord says, Moses says to the people, the Lord will raise up a prophet like me. We know who that someone is. We know who that prophet is. But we may not have time to spend to develop that at all. But you might want to put a notation there. Don't want to overload you. I want you to get 12 words. Adam, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua. What's next? Well, that nation goes into the land. What have they got to have when they get in the land? Government? What kind of government do they have? What is the book after Joshua? Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. Exodus, Numbers, Jesus, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. How did I get, you know, that's a story behind that. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Joshua, Judges. What's next? They ask for a king. Joshua gives them judges, and they have kings after the judges. Wait a minute. We're going too fast. You're not getting it. Listen. Adam, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, and Joseph. Moses, Joshua, Judges. That's number eight. And when they don't want the judges, what happens? We don't want judges. What does he give them? Kings. Wait a minute. I just made it fast and great. Mama may not be happy with this C minus C plus I've made, but I now have nine of these. Adam, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, into Egypt, Moses out, Joshua into the promised land, judges, and then kings. Beside kings, I put the names of those three kings, Saul, David, and Solomon. I'd have to tell you a lot to tell you about the David and Goliath. I'd have to tell you a lot to tell you about King Saul and mistakes he made in his life. That's just the story of the Bible. But I'm trying to help you get a mental way of remembering the story of the Old Testament. It'll help you when you teach your children or when you teach your grandchildren. You know the names of the players on the Tennessee Volunteers football team, or the Tennessee Titans, and you know who on earth will be that running back this next year, or who will be the quarterback this next year. Why could you not remember this 12-word outline? Adam, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, and Joseph. Into Egypt, Moses, Joshua, into the land, judges, 15 judges. Beside the judges, you might all write the word government or the word 15, judges, and then kings, put Saul, David, and Solomon. When Solomon dies, what happens? In the story of the Bible, what happens? Well, you need to understand that God promised to Moses that a prophet would come. Somewhere around the word David, I would write, a king is coming. Because the Lord says to David, someday I'm going to set up your seed on your throne. So they were expecting the prophet to come, and they were expecting the king to come. So when John the Baptist came and says the kingdom of heaven is at hand, they were already expecting it. Why? Someone's coming. He's going to be a prophet. He's going to be a king. And then if I have room on that card, and you may not have a place to write this, David says that a priest is coming. In Psalms 110, verse 4, a priest is coming. Not a Jewish priest, but a priest of the order of Melchizedek. Not of the order of the Levites, remember that book Leviticus? But another order called Melchizedek. A prophet is coming, a priest is coming, and a king is coming. What's the divided kingdom all about? American history, Civil War. War between the states. Listen, and this is where it gets foggy, so listen carefully. When Solomon dies, the kingdom is divided into a north and a south. 80 to 85% of the entire nation became a part of that northern kingdom. When the northern kingdom leaves, they leave God. There never was a righteous king in that northern kingdom. So under divided kingdom, out on the side over there, I put a northern kingdom called Israel and a southern kingdom called Judah. And by the northern kingdom of Israel, I would put 19 kings, zero righteous kings. 85% of the Jews leave God. That great nation that was once to be measured by the number of the stars, now there's 2 of the 10 tribes that are faithful to God. By the way, that southern kingdom has 19 kings. Only 4 are righteous. That's when all the prophets are there. Those Old Testament, those last 70 books of the Bible, primarily that covers that period when God's prophets are there pleading with them to come back to God. Prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet, talking sometimes to that northern kingdom like Elijah and Elisha, and to that southern kingdom like so many that most of the prophets are. Come back to God, come back to God. What happens to that northern kingdom? And what happens to the southern kingdom? Captivity. That's number 11. The northern kingdom goes to Nineveh, to Assyria, for captivity. The kingdom of Nineveh comes down and destroys, or the kingdom of Assyria, Nineveh being the capital city, destroys that northern kingdom. What about that southern kingdom? They last about another 100 years beyond when the northern kingdom heads to Assyria, and the southern kingdom goes into captivity into Babylon. So by the word captivity, I'd like Israel, and understand that's the northern kingdom, to Assyria. I might put 19-0. Southern kingdom, Judah, Babylon, 19-4. 19 righteous kings, or 19 kings, only 4 are righteous. And you've got one other word. And you know the story the Old Testament. They go to Babylon. What happens? Ezra, Nehemiah, Zerubbabel, Esther. What happens? That's the return from captivity. And so with that last word, captivity, I'd write returned to the promised land, or just return. Restoration. You pick your word to put there. But they come back, and that's where the Old Testament ends. And for 400 years, there's no more prophets. God said everything he wanted to say, and though there have been prophets, well, all the way back to Enoch, who prophesied, and Noah, who was a prophet, a preacher of righteousness, and to Abraham, who strangely enough was called a prophet, the first man in the Bible called a prophet is Abraham, and then you've got Samuel and all of these prophets, Elijah, Elisha, and Isaiah, and Ezekiel, and Daniel, and Jeremiah, and Hosea, and Joel, and Amos, and Obadiah, and Jonah, and Micah, and Nahum, and Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, and Malachi. These are these prophets, either preaching to that northern kingdom or that southern kingdom. Come back to God. When they didn't come back to God, they go into captivity. And when they go into captivity, they return. All right, final test. Got a crown. Final test. You don't have to make 100 on this to go to heaven, by the way. But it'd help you understand the Bible if you could. Adam, Noah, what's that next name? Abraham, the J, Jacob, oh, another J, Joseph. Get them down the land of Egypt. Moses brings them out to the promised land. Joshua takes them into the land. You got Moses and Joshua, and then you got judges. And then you got kings. And then you've got the end of that northern kingdom and the end of that southern kingdom when they go into captivity. And finally, they return. And by return, I put the names Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah. Those three men lead the Jews back from Babylon. And when they get back, God says another, doesn't say another word. No prophets. There have been prophets for hundreds, thousands of years. No more prophets. I've said everything I want to say. You know what the story of the New Testament is? That prophet has come. That priest has come. That king has come. You know what a prophet does? God's in heaven, man on the earth, and there's a prophet. And God gives a message to the prophet, and he gives a message to the people. What does a priest do? There's God, and there's man. You know what a priest does? Here's the priest, they're the people. When they're ready to deal with sin, they bring their sacrifice, and the priest offers the sacrifice to God. Prophet, God downward. God, prophet, men. Priest, upward. The people, the priest, to God. And that's someone who is coming. It's the prophet. We're going to talk about that tonight. He left us a book. I hope you'll be here for that one. The one thing Jesus left after he left this earth was the Bible. That's something you need to know. He's the priest. Not offering the blood of bulls and goats, not offering animal sacrifice, but figuratively he took his blood into heaven. And he takes his blood into heaven, figuratively, and lays it before God, and he says, Dan, God, let Dan come into heaven because I've shed my blood for him. You put your name in that sentence. Jesus says, God, let, put your name there, come into heaven because I shed my blood. And he is the king who has authority. He's a prophet, spokesman, priest, offering a sacrifice of himself to God, and a spokesman from God. And God says, when he made the promise to Moses, I'll raise up a prophet like you, and if you do not listen to that prophet, Jesus, you will answer to me. That's judgment. And the certainty of judgment is the flood. And the certainty of the nature of sin, it's the story of Adam and Eve. And the certainty of salvation from sin is the priesthood of Jesus. And the certainty of knowing our way to heaven is this book. From the king, that has all authority. Have you submitted yourself to that king? He has all authority. And God said, if you don't listen to my son, you're going to answer to me. That's amazing, isn't it? You're going to stand before God in judgment. And he'll say, did you do what my son told you to do? What did he tell me to do? To believe with all of my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. To make up my mind to follow him. If you've not made that decision, I'm going to follow Jesus, you are lost. You are separated from God, and eternal death, eternal separation in hell fire awaits you. You better decide to repent. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, this gospel meeting will be the very thing, very time you ought to obey the gospel. I obey the gospel. I was very young during a gospel meeting, and I remember what it was like to go down into that baptistry and coming out thinking, God has forgotten about all of the evil I've ever done. He'll do that for you because he says, their sins will I remember no more. And that's what he'll do for you. But you got to decide that. You could decide that when we'd stand in just a moment to sing this invitation song. But it's not just believing. It's not just changing, not making that decision. You must, with your lips, confess him before men. Listen to this. Whoever confesses me before men, I will confess him before the Father. You read that verse, you've heard that verse, ever thought about what it means? Before I was baptized, I stood and I said, and by saying yes, in reference to the question that was asked, I said, yes, I believe with all of my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. I did that before men. You know what's going to happen on Judgment Day? Jesus himself is going to say, I believe that Dan, put your name there. I believe with all of my heart, put your name there, is a child of God. Let him come into heaven. And if you've never confessed Jesus, Jesus says you've denied me. And if you deny me, I won't confess you before the Father. I don't even know that person. He's headed for hell. You're headed for hell if you've not confessed him. And you must be baptized. I know the world says, just believe. But that doctrine is not found in the Bible. That doctrine says, he who believes and is not baptized shall be saved. You know what the prophet who speaks for God? Sin? You know what the priest says who says, I'm going to cleanse you of your sins? You know what the king says? He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. The Spirit of God gives us these words. Here's the water in this baptistry, and except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, you'll not enter into heaven. You cannot go to heaven without being baptized. Who said that? Jesus, the someone who came. And the someone who came says to all of us, come. And if you do wrong, I'll forgive you. You know what an invitation song is all about. It's for those who've not been baptized or those who are wayward to come back home. Someone is coming, descendant of Adam. He is thereby descendant of Noah, descendant of Abraham. He's the descendant of Jacob. He's a part of Israel. He's a part of that nation that went into Egypt. and part of that nation that came back, and a part of that nation that crucified him when he came, but he'd save everyone of them. And he'll save you. All you have to do is to not just say the words, but do what this words of this song says. Have thy way, Lord. You're the potter. I'm the clay. Let God mold you right now. As together we stand and sing, will you come?